Coming up on iOS today, Rosemary Orchard is still gone, but don't worry because, yes, Christopher Lawley is back again to talk this time about the Apple Design Award winners. It's a great episode with lots of apps to check out. Stay tuned for iOS today.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is iOS Today, episode 659, with Micah Sargent and Christopher Lawley, recorded Tuesday, June 20th, 2023. Apple Design Award winners. This episode of iOS Today is brought to you by Fastmail. Reclaim your privacy, boost productivity, and make email yours with Fastmail. Try it now, free for 30 days at fastmail.com/twit. And by Grammarly Go. You'll be amazed at what you can do with Grammarly Go. Go to grammarly.com/go to download and learn more about Grammarly Go. Welcome back to iOS Today, the show where we talk all things iOS, tvOS, HomePodOS, watchOS, iPadOS, and all of the OSs Apple has on offer. There are so many these days because there are so many great devices that you and I have that run these operating systems. And on this show, we try to help you make the most of everything you've got. I am one of your hosts today, Micah Sargent, and I am joined across the internet today by Christopher Lawley. Welcome back to the show, Chris.
Thank you for having me. You almost just can't get rid of me, but I guess you'll get rid of me next week. But thank you for having me back. I'm excited to talk about apps today. I love apps.
Woo, woo, woo. Yes, I am excited to talk about apps with you as well. Super pumped to have you here again. Always a pleasure to get you on the show and to get to chat with you about what's going on in the world of iOS and iPadOS, first and foremost, and all the rest of them too. I really encourage folks, if you did not get a chance to check out the past 2 weeks of iOS Today episodes, do give those a look because it gives you your first insight into what you can expect in the next versions of Apple's various operating systems. We covered what they announced at WWDC and the what will continue to sort of build on that coverage as the public betas release. We're being told sometime in July. At that point, then we can kind of really dive in deep, show you all of the different features and kind of play with everything. But today, it's time to talk about the Apple Design Awards. So every year at the Worldwide Developers Conference, Apple has an event called the Apple Design Awards. And at the Apple Design Awards, Apple recognizes different apps, different developers for their apps, their creations. And they do it based on, first of all, they split it into two categories, app and game. So they provide these awards in different categories, but they're split into those two. So as we kind of go through this, you'll see that we have one for an app and one for a game. And each year, they have kind of these different themes, these different categories. This year, and as we go into each one, we'll talk about what specifically Apple is talking about means whenever we get to it. But it's inclusivity, delight and fun. That's one category, delight and fun, interaction, social impact, visuals and graphics, and innovation. So there were 36 finalists, 12 chosen apps. We're just going to talk about the 12 chosen apps this time. In years past, we've also covered the finalists, but there are just so many that we cannot get through all of them. But I am really excited to talk about these because it's kind of, in some ways, the pinnacle of development on the platform, and perhaps in some cases not. We're going to hear from Christopher Lawley about one that kind of gave him an eyebrow raise. But this is the chance for Apple to kind of say, hey, look to these apps as inspiration, right, for creating a beautiful app or a well-designed app that makes use of Apple's various tools. And then it's kind of the challenge each year. We just announced a bunch of new features for these platforms. What can you create in this next year that will receive an Apple Design Award at that following stage? So pretty cool and exciting to kind of dig into this. And it all starts with inclusivity. But before we get to that, I just wanted to check in, Chris, to see if there's anything you want to say about the ADAs in general before we dive in.
Yeah, this is a really cool thing that Apple does every year. I don't know if a lot of people are aware of this, but the winners actually get a trophy, and it's this cube aluminum trophy with, you know, Apple Design Award winner on it, and they engrave their name and all that stuff on it. And then the winners, I think it's a known thing, but they get like a whole bunch of Apple gear and stuff, like part of their prize, like Macs and iPhones and like whatever the latest and greatest stuff is. So, it's a really cool thing, especially like, when it's like developers, like indie developers and stuff winning, like that's always really fun to see, Apple just kind of recognizing like, hey, these are some apps they are following, like they're well designed apps, well built apps. And like, these are the examples, you should be following kind of thing. And I really like that.
Yeah, that's good to get that sort of understanding. It reminds me when I learned about the Great British Bake Off and how there's not prize money for the winners of GBBO. And it has to do, I talked to Rosemary Orchard about this, and a lot of like game shows and things of that nature in the UK have different rules than we have in the US, but then also have kind of different social rules. And so, yeah, that plate that they get at the end if they win yeah. GBBO is kind of their thing, but it also leads to book deals often, and they get kind of that's really where the sort of financial part of it comes in. But yeah, I was surprised to learn that was the case. Anyway, let's get into this, starting with inclusivity. And here's what Apple says about inclusivity. Winners in this category provide a great experience for all by supporting people from a diversity of backgrounds, abilities, and languages. So these apps are mindful in their inclusivity, right? We've got an app and a game. And the app this year is an app called Universe Website Builder. And I'm going to once again read the text from Apple before we actually show what this looks like. I've used Universe in the past to play around with it. Good. So we'll both be able to talk about it then. So here's what Apple says. By reducing complexity and removing barriers to entry, Universe makes website building possible for everyone. The app empowers people to create their perfect online storefront, artist home, community group page, or personal web presence, all while implementing features like dynamic type and voiceover to make Universe accessible to as many as possible. So in this case, this app has been recognized for being able to, or rather for providing an experience that allows kind of anybody to go in and create a website. So here I have the basic version of Universe. It's available for free with in-app purchases to kind of add to the experience. And you can create a website. So I, at some point, created Micah DS, because it's my first name, middle initial, last initial, .univer.se. And this page, I could then go in and create, or this site, I could go in and create pages for it. So I've got a home page here, and I could edit this home page, and up pops this kind of this sort of basic page that I can change the text on. So it's very easy to do. So I could change this to Micah Sargent, iOS Today, for example. And then each of these squares have the ability to have something added to it. I could grant it access to my photo library and then be able to add photos from my photo library. I could change the style of an image filter if I were to add an image there. I could have each image linked to a specific page. And this gets super in depth. I mean, let me go ahead and tap on the plus button down here, and you can see everything that I can add. I can add text to the page, a photo. If I wanted to sell something, add a PayPal link, a button, a download, a video, a group that you can add then multiple things to, a gallery, which of course is also like a photo, but multiple photos, a loop, a link, a contact page, a subscribe, a map, a YouTube page or YouTube link, your SoundCloud, your Vimeo. Let's add a GIF to the page from Giphy. So
did you just say GIF?
Oh no, we can't do this. I'm a GIF person. Because the man who invented GIFs in the first place says it's pronounced GIF, and I respect that.
He should have spelled it JIF. Anyways, moving on.
But you'll notice that I said Giphy because the creators of Giphy said we pronounce it Giphy. So it's a GIF from Giphy. Anyway, so let's say I want to add this strange image to my site, this animated image, and then I could change the style of this image. I could add, some padding, make it link up. And it is kind of ridiculous how responsive and easy it is to design a page. I mean, most of this, I'm just tapping around and moving things around. I can easily, edit, add a row above or below this. I've got the ability to change how many rows a page has. I can change the theme of this page. So maybe I didn't like this. So I could go to something else instead. And it'd switch to that if I wanted to. Let me discard those changes. And then at any time I publish the site and it's ready to go, people could go to it and actually gain access to this site. It's very simple to use, but it also can get very complex. And I think that's what makes this particularly awesome, is that you start by kind of building a boring, easy to set up page, but then you realize, oh, I can add sub pages. I can then start to sell things if I want to. You can also upgrade your subscription to, look, it's $25 per year, and that's going to get you a custom domain for your site, which is a really good price, or $72 per year. That's how you can kind of set up a shop or something like that. And then I also love that at any time you can choose Explore Universe and see some of the other websites that are out there, so that have been created using Universe. So here's one. And this is, it says Creation Trip. And check out like the typefaces that are being used, the fun sort of layering of the images here. All of this is, all of these sites have been created in Universe. And so here's what appears to be a restaurant of some sort, 15 Kitchen Bar. And so it's got, the phone number, it's got these different links, and it's got this fun sort of background. So it almost harkens back to a time of MySpace, which is kind of fun. But yeah, tell me about your experience with Universe. Do you have an active site that you use with this, or did you, like me, just kind of play around with it?
I was just playing around with it. I saw it a couple of years ago. I think this was when I was working on my pro apps for the iPad video, because I got frustrated because everyone was telling me there was no such thing as pro apps on the iPad. And I was like, I'll hold my Dr. Pepper. So I played around with it. I thought it was really impressive. It takes on that I really hate it, but I'm going to say it anyways. It takes on that no code whole push that's happening right now. You'll never hear Apple say that phrase. But basically the idea is you can build a whole website without having to write any HTML or having to worry about certs or any of that stuff. They'll take care of all the really heavy technical stuff on their back end. And you just need to design the thing by dragging and dropping elements. And I think that's really cool. And the whole reason why it won the award was it's for its implementation of dynamic type and voiceover for accessibility reasons, which is really nice to have, because that stuff isn't always the easiest to implement on your own from scratch, especially if you've never built a website before. So that's really cool that's built into it from the foundation, so that when you publish a website, you can scale the type dynamically. You can have voiceover for low vision users or blind users. So that's really cool. I love the idea of people being able to build their websites without having to sit there and learn how to code, especially now as we see platforms like Twitter and Reddit erupt and just kind of like end up destroying their own community. I would not be surprised if we end up going back to an age where everyone has their own blog, which I am all for.
Absolutely. The next title in inclusivity goes to Stitch. Very excited about this. I've talked about Stitch a lot in the past. I've played through Stitch entirely. I'll read again. With cross-generational appeal, Stitch, an Apple Arcade title, brings the calming, meditative art of embroidery to its users. As the game progresses, designs increase in difficulty while background music lulls players into a state of tranquility. With support for multiple languages and custom accessibility options for those with color blindness, low vision, and motion sensitivities, everyone can join in on the fun. I love this game. So it's a very simple game to kind of grok. You are essentially creating little kind of stitched creations. That's why they talk about it being, cross-generational appeal. So with it, you are playing through these little puzzles. This is an Apple Arcade title, so you will need to have an Apple Arcade subscription to play it. But here, for example, you are trying to fill in the squares based on the numbers that you're given. So here, I know that I need to have 5 squares that are this color. And right now, I've got it such that I cannot actually make this 5. So I might need to change this so that I could get 5 of those, like so, and 6 of these. And but I can't do that because those 3 need to go probably there. So this is probably, whoops. So you can kind of, as I'm playing this, you start to see how this can be rather puzzling. So this 3 I know needs to go this way no matter what, because there's not enough to go down to make 3 and there's not enough to go up to make 3. So I know for sure that needs to go that way, which doesn't leave me many options for this 6 other than to do this. That 3 goes there. And then I need to figure out a way to get these 2 colored in. So I'm guessing that that's going to go there like so. This will probably be the 5 there. This is probably the 2. That's the 2. This is 4. And I'm going to explain why there's a question mark down there in a moment. So when you play through the first time, you will not get a question mark. But once you, like me, have obsessively played it so that you've completed every single hoop that's available, then you can do what's called prestige, which anyone who games is probably familiar with the term. It essentially means start over, but now play kind of either with more things unlocked or in such a way that you kind of are challenging yourself even more. So once I beat the whole game by completing every hoop that was available, the way to play it through again is with this little system where one of the numbers is completely blank to you and you just have to try to figure out how many spaces it needs to take up. So that's why that question mark is there. But the first time you play through, you will not see that question mark. So it's a lot easier to play. I have found this game so delightful, so enjoyable, and so sort of, it scratches the part of my brain that I needed to scratch. So I was really excited to see it get an award, and then even more excited to hear that it received an award for inclusivity. I knew about the color blindness features because they're very clear and prominent within the app, but I didn't know about the rest of it because I don't regularly use tools like VoiceOver to navigate an app. So I'm happy to hear that it is that as well. Next category is delight and fun. And this category says winners in this category provide memorable, engaging, and satisfying experiences that are enhanced by Apple technologies. So once again, important to note that these categories are making use of Apple's built-in tools to improve upon the experience in some way. And that is where that recognition comes. That's why this is at WWDC. It is honoring developers who are making use of the development tools that Apple provides to improve upon the app. That's why this sort of awards show or whatever, this awards event is separate from the awards that we see kind of at the end of the year, where it's kind of the best apps and games. Those may not be using a lot of Apple's official tools, but they are the most popular games or the most popular apps that are being used, whereas these are being recognized specifically because they do that. So up first is Duolingo. More than a decade after its launch, Duolingo continues to expand its comprehensive approach to learning languages through a redesigned experience and the introduction of new courses for endangered, indigenous, and fictional languages. Users come for the expanding catalog of dialogues and stay for the delightful characters and fun gamified experience, including quests, challenges, and leaderboards to keep learners engaged. Have you used Duolingo? I feel like everyone has at some point.
I tried it out, but I don't really have like a, it's a huge time. Like to learn another language is a huge amount of time that you would have to set aside to do that. And I don't really have a need to learn another language. I just don't have the time for it, but I have tried the app. It is a very good app for what you are setting out to do, learn another language. It is very good for that kind of thing. I wish I would have had it back in high school when I had to take Spanish.
Yes.
My Spanish teacher wasn't the greatest, but the tests were very situation. Hard. Yeah, so I kind of wish I would have had it then for that kind of thing. But it's a very interesting app, and I know some people that have used it to actually learn other languages that they use every day, and it's worked for them.
Yeah, I won't go into detail about it because a lot of people have used it, so there's no reason to kind of dig in. But I have. In the past, started and stopped learning German using it a number of times. But it was interesting. It was really exciting this morning when I downloaded it to the iPad that I'm using to show things, because I have it on my iPhone and have for some time, but downloaded it on the iPad, logged in, and it popped me immediately into a review. And I was able to answer the review that I was doing. So I was really excited to see that stuck. I'm still early on. It was, nine and bitte and milch and cafe. So we were just talking about coffee, milk, yes, no, please, thank you, that kind of thing. So not difficult stuff, but it was still there in my head. So I know that they, the tools that they use, the methods that they use for teaching are backed by sort of our understanding of learning a language. The next one in this category, again, for delight and fun, is a game called Afterplace.
Yeah.
Afterplace, and this is what it says, a vintage pixel adventure with a contemporary twist. Afterplace is an unforgettable indie role-playing game with a modern edge, balancing nostalgia, dry humor, and exploration. It's lovingly crafted for mobile and controlled by swipes and taps instead of virtual buttons. The game's clever onboarding grounds players in the world, and its intuitive one-handed control system makes it easy and fun to discover Afterplace's quirky surprises and hidden rewards. So let me show you Afterplace on the iPhone.
I was just gonna say, as you're pulling it up, this reminds me heavily of like classic Zelda games and like Earthbound and stuff like that. So like if you like those old school like top down 8-bit style games, this is totally right up your alley.
So this is Afterplace. It says tap to begin. And here we go. Hey, I'm tired of yelling into the void already. This better be haunting your nightmares. It's really boring here without you. Also, I think everyone's going to die. Probably. Yeah, that's true. Probably should have led with that. Find me when you get here. I mean, eventually everyone's going to die. Promise. Okay, so there was the kind of kickoff. It just had some text on screen. And now I'm seeing a green. I'm seeing a green field with not really much going on, other than a little person with pink hair looking around. And oh, is that a health bar? touch and drag anywhere to move. So as I'm putting my finger down on the screen, nothing happens. What you have to do is actually drag that finger so you can go up, down, left, and right. And I'm going to guess that it's probably a good idea to go to that path in the top right, but I want to double check to make sure there's not anything hidden here that I could possibly pick up. So I'm just going a little bit behind. Yeah, this is giving Pokemon vibes. So now I'm looking around. Oh, there's a little squirrel running across. Oh, and there I just found a little area I could go into. And there's a strawberry. Oh, or an acorn. I mean, that might be an acorn. You got the acorn charm. You feel the power of squirrels protecting you. I do. I always feel the power of squirrels protecting me. And now I'm walking around and I'm going to go back to the main area here and just double check, because I am a person who doesn't like to miss anything. And there is a great little soundtrack going on in the background.
It's very Zelda.
Yeah, it yep, it is. Absolutely. There's a crow up there. I wonder if it's a nice crow or a mean crow. I guess it could be a raven.
Crows are never nice.
This is true. I'm able to tap on it. Hey, don't attack me, it says. Oh, I didn't realize that's what I was doing. My bad. There you go. You got it. Ugh. Oh, now it's not working. Oh, there we go. Okay, overkill, but I appreciate the energy. So I'm swiping and getting the bushes. And now it's teasing me for teaching children how to stampede. It's, oh man, no one's going to like me after this because I'm going through and I'm chopping at all of the bushes. And now, you know what? I'm going to finish chopping the bushes here just in case. You never know. And we'll go over and do this one. All right. And then we can move along. I'm going to get to this next part and then we can move on to the next one. So I imagine, yes. Oh, there's a blob. I'm going to guess that blob or that slime is probably something I would have to face off against. Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm already surprised. I'm already surprised and delighted by this game, created by Evan Kice or Kice, K-I-C-E is the developer. So this is one of those instances where it was what you were talking about. It is an individual developer, which is really exciting. So let me get out of this game so it doesn't distract me, because I will keep playing if I don't. That was when I was her place.
When I was prepping for this episode, any of the games I downloaded, I did not download all of them, and we'll get to why a little later on, but I immediately had to delete them because I was just like, this is going to take up all my day, and I can't have that.
So far, we've had apps that were free with in-app purchases for different things. The website builder, of course, was required an in-app purchase to use the extra features, have your custom domain. Stitch was an Apple Arcade game, so you needed an Apple Arcade subscription to play it. Duolingo, also free with in-app purchases that give you kind of more tools, more options for learning a language. This is the first one that just costs money up front, but then you don't have to worry about it for the rest of the time. It's $6.99 in the App Store for this game. All right, our next category is interaction. And it says, winners in this category deliver intuitive interfaces and effortless controls that are perfectly tailored to their platform. So wherever the app is kind of designed to be used, it does a good job of being used on that platform. And the app for this category is Flighty. Apple says, Flighty provides users with detailed flight maps, airport navigation, and delay forecasting, all through a beautifully designed app experience with key information where it's needed most, an intuitive interface, and comprehensive live maps. Flighty makes navigating travel seamless. The app thoughtfully integrates Apple technology, including Siri shortcuts, Apple Maps, live activities, and more, to keep travelers covered at every part of the journey. I heard you make some sounds about Flighty. Have you used Flighty? Do you like Flighty? Tell us about Flighty.
I have used Flighty. I used Flighty a long time ago because I haven't flown since before March of 2020. You know, something happened around then. And I haven't flown or needed to fly since then. But before that, Flighty is like the best flight tracking app. Like if you were somebody that flies a lot, like I told my brother, he flies literally multiple times a week for his job. Like download Flighty. It shows you everything. It's more up to date than like most airline apps are. I don't know how the developer does it. It's beautifully designed, incredibly intuitive. I use it whenever I do need to pick up my brother from the airport, and I can get an ETA on when his flight's coming in and all that stuff. Because let me tell you something, Fresno Airport does not let you stop in the pickup zone. Like, you literally are you got to keep the car moving as they're throwing luggage in. Because that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but you know what I mean. But yeah, no, it's a gorgeous app. When I saw it, one, I was very excited for him because it's definitely well deserved. Anyone that flies a lot will tell you, download Flighty, totally worth it.
Yeah, that the travel guru for many a podcast, Johnny Jett, has talked about Flighty for a long time. I've used Flighty in the past, not for myself because I haven't flown in a long time, but anytime we had some friends visiting from Utah recently and I got their flight numbers and used Flighty, and I was able to text them and tell them about a gate change or a flight delay before they were able to even know about it, which I think is always kind of funny, but is what makes Flighty so magnificent. Flighty can get pricey, but if you only use it kind of when you need it, then it's not too expensive to use. And so it ends up being that, you know, you kind of enable it when you are in the flight portion of your year, and or if you are a, you know, every single year kind of person, then obviously you need it at all times. But it is available to download for free. It has in-app purchases, and you can get so much even just with the free version. But you also get kind of your first flight using the app that you track with the app gets to be premium by default. So it'll show you all of those features. And yeah, I have heard from a number of people who have said, I learned from Flighty before I learned from, you know, the airline itself or from the announcement over the intercom while I was in the airport about whatever changed, whatever was updated. So Flighty's awesome. The live activities are really cool. I was able to use that as well whenever we had friends coming. And so I could see in the live activities, you know, arrival time changing and that's when cool. They were taxiing and everything, which was really neat. The next one in this category is the game. It's called Railbound. And here's what Apple says. Interacting with Railbound delights with its simplicity, including an onboarding experience that noticeably leaves out words, points, and navigating through menus. Undoing and reworking mistakes is a breeze through the game's clever designs. With pristine animation and colorful visuals, Railbound is a polished puzzler that's easy to pick up and difficult to put down. And I have to tell you, what Apple says there at the top about it kind of foregoing the need for words and all of that, it kind of caught me off guard because when you launch the app, you immediately are taken into the game. So let me show you here. This is the first screen you see when you download the app and launch it. And so it just shows a finger swiping across the screen. So I'm going to do what it's telling me to do. So I've added some rails and now it's saying press next to have that cart link up with the rest of the train. Now it's showing me, okay, you know, you're facing a puzzle here. Let's see what you can do to get the train cart to go around. So I'm just swiping my finger along the tracks and trying to connect that train track, or rather that train cart, with the rest of the train. Now some things are kind of interesting here. I've got a piece that could swerve off to the right or go forward. So it's kind of a switching piece. And I have different options here. I obviously want the train cart to eventually link up with the front of the train. So I move the piece such that the train track goes the right way and it doesn't loop back on itself. And now I've made it through stage 1-3. Now the hand is gone. The hand that was telling me what I was supposed to do next is gone. And I have to figure this out for myself. So I've got some options here. I am going to change. Okay, so it looks like I can't do that. Let's have it go to the right. So if I have it go to the right, I wonder if I can sort of have it do it in pieces. Nope, it would appear not. So let's restart and Let's see. If I do that, oh yeah, yeah, that will just go forward. That should work. Yeah. Okay. So I just had one piece that I needed to change because there were two options there, kind of depending on where the train cart was coming from. So once again, we are just arranging pieces. And obviously these first levels are going to be very simple as it's kind of teaching you how to play the game with them getting more difficult. Now I've got a new setting here. So before it was placing tracks, now it's picking up tracks. So I've picked up the tracks and I can drop them along and get my train cart to connect. Very simple in its design once again, but also, I could see myself playing this game for quite a while.
Yeah. as I'm going along here.
Yeah, isn't it? It's pretty.
It kind of reminds me of like those old like hand-drawn cartoons.
Yes. Almost. Yes. You know what I mean? Like Looney Tunes or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Like pre-computer animated, like hand-drawn cartoons is kind of what it reminds me of.
Ooh, and now I've got two carts I've got to get connected to the main train. Railbound is available for $4.99 in the App Store, and that's it. Once you pay the price, you've paid the price, and you are good to go. So really easy, really fun, and definitely a game I'm going to continue to play after this. Folks, that brings us to the end of the first section of these apps. There's loads more to talk about, but I do want to take a quick break so I can tell you about our first sponsor of the show today. It's Fastmail, who are bringing you this episode of iOS Today. It's important that you make email work for you, not the other way around, and Fastmail is going to help you do that. It'll help you customize your workflow with colors, custom swipes, night mode, and more. Because Fastmail now has quick settings. And from the quick settings menu, you can easily choose a new theme, switch between light mode and dark mode, and change your text size without leaving the Fastmail screen you're looking at. Quick settings will also offer options related to the Fastmail screen you're viewing. So you can generate new masked email addresses, show or hide your reading pane, switch between folders and labels, and so much more. Plus, you can choose to auto-save contacts or choose to show public images of senders from external services like Gravatar. So it's very easy to kind of go, oh, this is an email coming in from this person because it's all set up with their Gravatar. And then also set default reminders for events, change how invitations are handled, turn notifications on for calendar sets and alerts. And so you can decide, you know, I want to be alerted about these calendar events or not alerted about those. And as Fastmail goes on, it continues to add more features to make that email experience even better. You can add or buy a domain now through Fastmail, and they're going to go ahead and set up all of the records for you so it works immediately. Fastmail gives you the ability to send and receive emails from your own domain and manage multiple email addresses in one space, which helps keep you organized and protects your personal data. I just got an email this morning from Fastmail talking about some new features and partnerships that it had introduced. And I love that they're constantly trying to improve upon the experience and make sure that it's the best way to do your email. For more than 20 years, Fastmail has been a leader in email privacy. The Fastmail team believes in working for customers as people to be cared for, not thinking of them as products to be exploited. Advertisers, they're left out. So that puts you at the center. You pay for free email with your privacy. That's the exchange that's going on there. But at Fastmail, your data stays yours with better productivity features for as little as $3 a month. Fastmail has better spam filters and absolutely no ads because you're paying for your email. And that just means a better experience overall too, because email is the product there. And so you don't have to worry about being the product yourself. And privacy is not everything that you get with Fastmail. It's one of the most important things, but you also get superior productivity tools with scheduled send, snooze, folders, labels, the search bar. Plus, you can keep track of all of the important details in your life easily with Fastmail's powerful sidebar. That sidebar has access to contacts and reminders. It works with password managers as well, like Bitwarden and 1Password, to make it easy for you to create unique passwords for every account. And then also tie that to a unique email. So every single email and password combo is, you know, just for that device is single to that specific account, is single to that specific login. And it's great on desktop and mobile, especially when you download that Fastmail app to get the most out of your email. It's easy to download your old data and import it into your new Fastmail inbox. So if you're worried about, oh, well, I want to switch to Fastmail, but what about my old email? Worry not. Fastmail will bring that all in. Fastmail is moving email forward with new internet standards and open source innovations that power many email services other than their own. So don't get left behind by those substandard email providers, especially like the ones you get from your ISP. Ugh, terrible, old school, no good. Fastmail, it's new school, baby. Reclaim your privacy and boost productivity with Fastmail. Try it now, free for 30 days at fastmail.com/twit. That's fastmail.com/twit. Thank you so much to Fastmail for sponsoring this week's episode of iOS Today. All right, we are back from the break, and that means it is time to move to our next bit of the Apple Design Award winners. As I mentioned, there are six categories. We covered inclusivity, delight and fun, and interaction. Those are the first three categories. It is now time to talk about social impact. Here's what Apple says about social impact. Winners in this category improve lives in a meaningful way and shine a light on crucial issues. So I'm not surprised to see the first one in this category. It's been around for a long time, and I know many people have heard of it. It's Headspace. Here's what Apple says. Bringing mindfulness to the masses, Headspace's thoughtful designs are tangible across its minimalist user interface, charming video content, and signature illustrations. Users can pick from a number of diverse voices to guide them through the app's expansive catalog of content that's suited for a range of needs, from lengthy guided sessions to a five-minute clarity break. The app's Apple Watch integration also brings a moment of mindfulness to one's wrist at any time. Headspace is, again, it's been around for a long time. In fact, they've been a sponsor on the network in the past, if I remember correctly. It has kind of all sorts of content that is all about mindfulness. It's about making some space in your head. Get it? Headspace. So a mindful activity like taking five deep breaths. Now, as you can see, many of these features are tied behind the account subscription. So you may not have access to some of the stuff depending on whether you do have a subscription or not. And I'm curious if there's anything in here I could do that does not require that. So there's a category for managing stress that has a specific, let's see, set of stuff. And so here you can kind of see a video play out, and I'm just going to play a little bit of it here. Well, it doesn't have any audio, which is fine because I don't necessarily want to, but this is, you know, the introduction from the individual who's doing this training. And then it goes through and it talks about how you do it. And then it has a whole breathing session as the first session. So this app is, you know, one of, I think, many apps that exist on the platform that help you to work on mindfulness. It is available, let's see, for free with in-app purchases. So you are able to download it for free, but a lot of it is tied behind a subscription. It's $70 a year after a 14-day free trial, or $13 per month after a 7-day free trial. So you can get a week if you choose the monthly plan. And of course, you're saving a lot of money by switching to the yearly plan. It's $156 if you do it by month, whereas it's $70 if you do it per year. Yeah. Anything you want to say about Headspace?
How do I make this?
Oh, is this the one?
No. That's still coming up. But I am not a meditation person.
That's fair.
I've tried it. It's not for me. I'm gonna leave it there because I don't want to get anyone in trouble.
Yeah. So that's
not
is
for me.
There you go. And that's fine. That's totally fine. Yeah. That's Headspace, the app for social impact. The game for social impact is called Endling. It says, in this side-scroller game, Endling casts players as a fox fighting to navigate a land charred by environmental disaster and human impact. Players are given the opportunity to build an immediate sense of empathy and connection to the lead character. The game's simple controls ensure that the story remains the focus of the gameplay rather than the interactions. So again, this is called Endling, and it is a side scroller game that is available for $9.99 on the App Store if you would like to play it. And let's see here if we've got.
It's a gorgeous game, and one thing I will say is it supports a controller.
Which that's nice.
Helps. I played it a little bit this morning, and then I switched over and got a controller after I played it a little bit with the touch deals, and I liked it with the controller a lot better.
Yeah, because as I'm looking, so you have if you're playing it with the touch, in the bottom corner, bottom left-hand corner, there's a little place where you touch, and if you move to the left slowly, it will move your character to the left slowly. If you move to the right slowly, it'll move your character to the right slowly. If you move it all the way over, then you can move kind of quicker. And then there are some interactions, so jumping, for example, which you tap on the right side to jump. There's an option to kind of hide yourself, so you're sort of down and sneaking. And then the ability to call out as well. So here we go. We're running along. Oh, okay. That fire's in the foreground. That's good. Because I moved backwards and the fire burned me, which was not fun.
Fire's hot, turns out.
Oh, my. Ooh, there's a deer in the background there. A buck, even. And so, yeah, fire's hot, it turns out, yes. So there we go. We're going underneath the tree, continuing to move along. And as I'm moving along, I can kind of see some... Oh, my goodness. Oh, and then if you tap over and over again, you can kind of dig under a log, as I just did there. And so it's slowly starting to teach me what I need to do to continue to play this game, what controls are necessary to play it, and again, when I might need to sneak around as opposed to be able to just run straight through. I would imagine that as I continue to play, I'm going to see some other creatures that I would want to call out to. There I can see that we're at a natural park and a preserve, and this is like a nature preserve as well. Oh my goodness. So now there's fire too. That's kind of scary. Oh no, what do I do? Oh no. I don't know what I'm supposed to do here because
I think you're supposed to dig.
Do I not move fast enough? That doesn't seem to be working. What if I try to call? Nope. Can I crouch? Nope. I don't know. Maybe I was supposed to move faster or something. But this is a good cue to stop here. So I'm wondering if maybe I can sort of run along. Oh, I needed to go backward. That's what it was.
Oh.
So in that case, yeah, there was another way to go. So now I'm moving to the left of the screen instead of the right. And there's even the ability I can climb. Oh my goodness, look at this fox climb. That's impressive. And let me go ahead and go back to the main menu. And so that is Endling, again, available for $9.99 in the App Store. And looks like it'll be a pretty fun game. Not necessarily my style of game, but I do understand, you know, its social impact category. The next segment, it's visuals and graphics. Winners in this category feature stunning imagery, skillfully drawn interfaces, and high-quality animations that lend to a distinctive and cohesive theme. The app winner is called Any Distance. Any Distance is a design-forward workout tracker, delivering shareable and dynamic graphics to its users. The app takes full advantage of live activities, which we talked about. That's where on a screen with a dynamic island, you will see a little area up at the top where it will give you some more information about what's going on. So when there's a timer running on a screen with a dynamic island, then you'll see the timer slowly start to run out. And when I'm listening to an audiobook in Audible, which is a sponsor of the network, I will see kind of little information, the book title kind of up there in the top. So any distance makes use of those live activities, and also Apple Watch integrations to collect and present fitness data, which can include not only traditional workouts like running and cycling, but also wheelchair exercise, stroller runs and walks, and recumbent bike rides. Enticing in-app collectible medals and an encouraging social community add to the fun and keep people motivated. I am not usually a big fan of apps that have activity apps that have social components, yeah, because I end up feeling guilty.
Yep.
Which I realize is the point.
I don't need to know all my friends are healthier than me and are more active than me. I mean, I already know that. I don't need it rubbed in my face every day.
Yes. So I tend to not use those features if they are available. But I know for some people that does work very well, and I'm happy for you. But I do want to show you kind of the app itself. So here I could go ahead and log a run, an outdoor ride, or a walk. So plus other activities. So we've got commute ride, e-bike ride, indoor ride, outdoor ride, recumbent ride, a cold plunge, a cool down, mindfulness or preparation and recovery, a dog run, a stroller run, a trail run, a treadmill run, cross-country skiing. So there's snow. There's also, if you're playing a sport, and then training like boxing and HIIT and Pilates, walking like a walk at your desk or perhaps a dog walk. So let's say it's a 30-minute walk that I want to do, or a specific distance that I want to go, or maybe there are a certain number of calories that I want to burn, or maybe I just want to go, and then I can choose start activity, and then that we will... oh, good. It's not even displaying on screen. That's wonderful. So Apple has improved upon this, because right now I have my location popping up on screen to ask me if I want to share my location. And in the past, we've had to then have that blurred out for the show. But now it's not showing my location on the screen, which is wonderful. So good for Apple for taking that away. And then you can kind of see... information here as I'm like moving along. And of course, now we will have to blur that out, unfortunately. So even though Apple didn't show the location, then my location ended up being shown with the dog walk itself. But as you're moving around, that's the idea. Then it's going to track your location. And then at the end, if we can cut back to the App Store page, it shows a screen where it's got like the person's journey that they took. There you go. So you can take a photo of yourself on your journey, and then it shows the trail that you went on, or the path that you went on. So that white line in front of the person on screen there is representative of the path that the person took. So it's kind of a fun way to just, I guess, brag about your activity if you'd like. Very well designed, though. I do give it credit for that. And it's called Any Distance, available in the App Store for free with in-app purchase for the extra features there. Now, this next one is for the Mac.
And is the one that caused me to raise my eyebrows.
So tell me about your eyebrow raise first, and then I'll read what they have to say about it.
So before I rudely interrupted Micah, I'm sorry, but the next one is Resident Evil Village. Now, this is a two-year-old game that Apple announced was coming to the Mac at WWDC last year, 2022. And it was already an old game then. And now I'm like, okay, so you're giving like your design award, literally your visual and graphics award, to a two-year-old game. And there's really some beautiful games that have come out in the last year on the iPhone, on the iPad, and even on the Mac. But I also kind of see this is like their political move too. Like if I'm putting on my succession hat, my succession West Wing hat, this is their political move, because what they're trying to do with this move is say, hey, third-party game developers that are making AAA titles, bring your games over here. They run great, because I just recently reviewed the new Mac Studio, and I put this game on the Mac Studio, cranked up all of the graphic settings, cranked it up as high as I possibly could, and was consistently getting 60 frames per second gameplay. So it runs great and it looks gorgeous. I was just like, really, that you're giving a 2-year-old game this, when like there are a ton of indie developers out there making really awesome stuff? So that was my eyebrow raise. That was my, like, I get it, Apple is political, but come on.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. I'll read. So Apple says, this horror adventure game delivers masterful visual detail powered by Apple Silicon, ProMotion, Metal 3, and extended dynamic range. From Resident Evil Village's creepy castle to its decrepit factories, the graphics are among the most realistic and atmospheric delivered on Mac. I will say that that part is true. We're not used to seeing games at this level of detail on the Mac itself, because there aren't many games of this caliber being made for the Mac. That said, there are sort of lower caliber, still high quality games that are being made for the Mac that have beautiful graphics, perhaps not at the sort of quote unquote realism level that this game has. But yeah, you're so right about it being as old as it is. It is kind of wild that they made this an Apple Design Award winner. Although, as you point out, there are reasons and upon reasons for why that's the case. It is available for $39.99 in the App Store. What was that?
Every year, there's always kind of like one political winner, like, hey, this is the one we're giving it to kind of like push people in this direction. And this is definitely the political winner this year. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And then the last category where we've made it, folks, is innovation. This is always my favorite category, although this year I was not super pumped about what ended up making its way here, because it doesn't really apply to me. That's why. So I just felt left out. And obviously then I'm going to be selfish and not be as into it.
I'm going to guess the one, the app that you wanted to win was also the app that I wanted to win. But we could talk about that after we go over these two if you want. But I have a feeling I know which app you wanted to win.
Absolutely. So it says winners in this category provide a state-of-the-art experience through novel use of Apple technologies that set them apart in their genre. So the understanding here is that these apps and games are making use of Apple technologies, but it's a way that the people who make this stuff at Apple go, oh, that's clever. Oh, that's a neat way to use that. And so these kind of stand out as still using Apple's tools, but maybe in a way that Apple was caught off guard in a good way. The first winner, the app, it's called Swing Vision AI Tennis App. It says, with the combined powers of artificial intelligence and neural engine, Swing Vision serves as a tennis coach that can help with every aspect of one's game. Swing Vision's advanced video tracking capabilities help to brilliantly evaluate form, highlight strengths, and suggest areas of improvement. Data is drawn not just from the camera, but through its Apple Watch integration as well. So on top of looking at your swing on the camera, if you use the Apple Watch app, then it will also use that as part of the process for being able to show you how well your swing goes. Now, Swing Vision sells a special phone mount that you can buy. You get a prompt for it in the app. And when you use that, then it kind of helps with making sure that you're getting your full swing. But let's take a look. Someone posted, Ryan Fisher here posted their swing. So I'm going to hit play on this and we'll see. It was recorded at 60 frames per second at 1080p with the swing mount. And so we can actually watch back as they do their hit. And what happens here is, you can see in the top right-hand corner. Well, you can't see because it's showing the video on a different. Let me see if I can't. So here is a view within the app, and you can see this person is just hitting tennis balls. They're going to hit 60 in total. And each time they hit it, it shows the estimated miles per hour. So 62 miles per hour, 77 miles per hour. And it talks about the kind of serve that's being done as well. A slice serve, a flat serve, a kick serve. And then it also is being able to show the person where the tennis ball hit. So it is actually showing in the top right-hand corner, a view of the tennis court with where the tennis ball hit.
That's wild.
Isn't that wild? You can change the speed as you're kind of watching this back to see them do it a lot quicker, and filter out based on which kind of serves they are. So if I only want to see how this specific person does a slice serve, for example, which I don't know what any of this means, then I could do that and kind of, I don't know, get inspiration on how to improve my shot. And then it has, and we'll switch back to the other view. It has all of this information for this person about their shots per hour, how many shots were in, streaks under five shots. I mean, all sorts of information. I can imagine that folks who are into tennis crave this kind of data. And wow, the max ball speed that this person was able to hit was 126 miles per hour. That seems very fast. And here's someone who had a suboptimal setup and was able to record some information, but it also shows, you know, when they are getting the best setup possible. So 60 frames per second at 1080p using the mount from Swing Vision. So yeah, if you're big into tennis and you want to make sure you are doing the proper, you know, swing, you may want to check out the Swing Vision AI tennis app, available in the App Store, free to download with in-app purchases. And also you can purchase the mount. And then I'm going to quickly mention the game, and then we'll talk about the one that we wanted to win in this category. Marvel Snap is the game winner. So I'll read the text here. Marvel Snap features fantastic animations and delightful haptics that perfectly channel the personalities of each multiverse character. This collectible card game is redefining the genre through its brisk gameplay and innovative snap mechanic that instantly doubles the stakes and introduces whole new layers of strategy to the game. Full disclosure, I've never played this game. I'll never play this game, most likely. So I don't know much about it. I do know that it's available in the App Store for free with in-app purchases. Not surprised that it has in-app purchases. These sort of heavily branded games I tend to kind of stay away from because they end up having a lot of free-to-play mechanics that I'm not a fan of. But congratulations to Second Dinner, the developer of Marvel Snap, on getting the Innovation Award for the haptic design and some of the kind of built-in game mechanics for this. Anything you want to say about Marvel Snap or about Swing Vision before we talk about the other one?
I don't really have anything about Swing Vision, but Marvel Snap, I've heard our mutual friend Mike Hurley talk about it multiple times. And every time he talks about it, he's really into it. Every time he talks about it, I go, wow, this sounds like the perfect game for me, which is exactly why I won't download it, because I know it will suck up all of my time. I'm not even too worried about the in-app purchase things, because it really does sound like the in-app purchase stuff is just like cosmetic based stuff. It doesn't actually affect your gameplay, which is fine. I'm fine with cosmetic stuff, like, especially since it's a free game, whatever. But it's supposedly, it's a very quick, fast-paced game. Like, the actual games, the rounds of games themselves don't last very long. And it's very strategy-heavy, which is right up my alley. But that is not something I need on my phone right now, Micah.
Yeah, stay away!
I do not want that on my phone. Yeah.
Totally.
So that was one of the ones
there.
I did not download and try out today.
totally get it. I think last year, or the year before, there was another kind of huge title that I said, oh, people know enough about this. And it did have a lot of free-to-play mechanics, and so I did not have any interest. But it's good to hear that this one doesn't have the kind where it's like pay to win, essentially. The one that didn't get the win for best app for innovation that you and I may have wanted to win is Camo by Reincubate Limited. So Camo
that's not the one you were talking about.
I thought you were going to say Rise.
Yes.
This is fun. You can talk about Rise.
Well, I love Camo. Don't get me wrong. Camo's great. Like, don't get me wrong. I just thought you were going to pick Rise, but no.
Oh,
I'm using Camo right now, but go ahead. Yeah.
So I am also using Camo. Anytime you see me podcasting from home, listeners, from my home studio, it is because of Camo. Camo is a fantastic application for the Mac, but also for Windows, that works with not just your iPhone, but also with an Android device to give you access to the built-in cameras on those phones. They did it before Apple brought Continuity Camera to the whole system. They figured this out, I think during the early days of the pandemic, perhaps even before that. And I remember talking to ages ago, Matthew Casanelli on our show, Smart Tech Today, and he had talked about Camo. And at that time I said, I thought it was a cool idea, but what I said on the show was, I'm a little concerned because I don't know what they're doing behind the scenes to make this possible. It makes me a little worried that they could be, you know, digging into parts of the system that maybe I wouldn't want to give them access to, yada, yada, yada. And shortly after that, I got an email. I think it was an email. It was either an email or a direct message from the CEO of Reincubate, Aidan Fitzpatrick. And he said, hey, I saw Smart Tech Today. I wanted to let you know that's absolutely not what we do. We make use of tools that are available and that folks, you know, just aren't really making use of. But we do it in a novel way. You know, it's unique. It's this, that, and the other. And I ended up downloading the app that day after I can't think of the term, but basically mea culpa. And I used the app that day. It was fantastic at the time. It's continued to get improvements. Later came out on Windows and added Android features. And now it is my means of interacting. I had the opportunity to get to chat with Aidan during WWDC week, which was a great and delightful conversation about Camo, and obviously to congratulate him and his team for making it as a finalist. But I was sad to see Camo not win, simply because, again, I feel like the recognition is deserved there for giving us the ability to use our iPhones as webcams before Apple added that feature via Continuity Camera. Camo had done it first, and they did such a great job with it that no other system out there was doing, that I wanted them to get that recognition. But to be a finalist is still a lot of recognition. And I've heard that there are more great things coming to Camo as well in the future. So everybody should continue to remain and stay posted to that. And one of the things that I have to give the team a shout out for especially is that they really are truly driven by the idea that each platform deserves its own attention. So if you're making an app for Windows, you have people who know how to code for Windows. If you're making an app for macOS, you have people who know how to code for macOS. Same for iOS, same for Android. They really are driven by making sure that the app and the system runs well on each platform using the tools that are available on those systems and platforms. So yeah, huge shout out to Camo. That's my sort of honorary winner. And now I'd like to hear about your honorary winner.
Yeah. Well, Camo, I love Camo. I use Camo. Like, I'm using it right now. I use it all the time. I use it over Continuity Camera. I just find it to be a bit more stable. And I love the settings and stuff that you can tweak in Camo. Really great. Rise is the other one that was nominated that didn't win. And I, when the nomination list came out, I actually thought Rise was the shoo-in for this category. So it is an energy and sleep tracker. And the way, so full disclosure, I've tried using it. I've tried working with it. I cannot sleep with my Apple Watch on. I cannot go to sleep with it on. I don't know why. But I have heard from so many people that love this app, and I've played around with it. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous app. It's absolutely beautiful. So basically what it does is it measures your sleep, and you know way more about sleep than I do, Micah. So feel free to jump in and just tell me I'm wrong. But the thing that I found really interesting is it measures like how you sleep, and it measures your energy levels for the day. So it'll tell you kind of like when you're at your peak, when you're kind of having a slump, maybe when you want to go take a nap, you know, so on and so on. And I thought it was a brilliant app, especially for the innovation category. Now, that being said, after seeing what the tennis app does, the fact that it's tracking the ball, that's pretty cool, but it does feel very limited. This one feels a bit more broad. But yeah, I think they all deserve to win.
They all deserve to win. I agree. If only that's how it worked, then, you know.
Yep,
Yeah. So we gave out our honorary awards, which is perhaps a thing we'll have to do going forward.
Give out an honorary award.
Please.
Apple would absolutely never give an ADA award to it, but it's Final Cut for the iPad. I'm still taking that victory lap. Still taking a victory lap on that one. But yeah,
I'm glad that it's not doing that. If that would look.
Could you imagine if Apple just gave themselves the award? We win this year.
It's like Jim being tricked into giving Pam the award for best employee and getting like money out of it or whatever. That was terrible. Best salesperson award. Oh, all right, folks. That brings us to the end of the Apple Design Award winners. Congratulations to all the winners, all of the finalists. You all made fantastic apps and games. Good work. And thank you for making what you make and bringing it to the App Store. We'd love to hear from you listeners out there who have used these apps or plan on using these apps, and tell us about your thoughts after playing these games, which games really pulled you in, which apps stuck around on your phone after a period of time, or your iPads. I'd love to know more about that. Let us take a quick break before we come back with feedback and questions. And of course, our app caps. This episode of iOS Today, it's brought to you by Grammarly Go. Look, today we're working and communicating more quickly than we ever have before. And honestly, sometimes you can end up feeling a little stuck. Whether you're struggling to write a thank you note or maybe struggling to create a business plan, why not give yourself a helping hand with Grammarly Go, Grammarly's new communication assistant powered by generative AI. With it, you can compose intelligently, like typing a prompt into Grammarly Go to generate high-quality writing so you can spend less time on that wordsmithing. You can personalize your voice by customizing your preferred style of communication. You just click Set Voice or use the tone indicator at the top of the Grammarly Go window to personalize your tone and determine how you want to sound. For formality, you choose casual, neutral, or formal. And then for tone, you can choose personable, confident, empathetic, engaging, witty, or direct. Grammarly Go understands your unique context, preferred voice, and goals to generate high-quality writing quickly. With just a few clicks, you can ideate, compose, rewrite, and reply thoughtfully. Rewrite for tone, clarity, and length, so Grammarly Go will help you fine-tune your writing to reflect your personal style, but still be effective in any situation. You can select the text that you want to rewrite and activate Grammarly Go. Rewrite your paragraph to sound more exciting, make it sound more professional, or make it sound more inspirational. Grammarly Go can be helpful for me. I have a tendency to over-explain everything. I want to make sure that exactly what I'm trying to say is exactly what another person understands. And so by the time I'm done writing, a lot of the time, I might have three paragraphs, or one paragraph will do. So Grammarly Go can hop in and say, okay, you're repeating the same ideas in three different places here. Let's rewrite this as one paragraph that has everything you need inside of it. Micah, calm down. It's fine. You will be amazed at what you can do with Grammarly Go. Go to grammarly.com/go to download and learn more about Grammarly Go. That's grammarly.com/go. Thank you, Grammarly Go, for sponsoring this week's episode. And with that, we are back from the break. Because we had so many Apple Design Award winners to talk about, we are going to skip the news section this week and head straight into feedback and questions. The first bit of feedback comes in from Lori. Lori wrote in, thanks with your help on my problem with needing templates for my work schedule. I've been happy with Fantastical. So this was an earlier question where Lori was wanting to create special templates that kind of made the work schedule easy to set up in the calendar. Now, a follow-up question from Lori. I have some shared calendars with my husband, and he doesn't use Fantastical. When I'm on my iMac, each calendar looks fine. However, I end up getting double listings on my Apple Watch and my iPhone. I know it is a matter of turning on and off various settings, but I have such a mess now, it is very confusing. I have iCloud and Gmail and Mac.com email listed under my calendar settings on my iPhone. Is there a way to weed out the duplicates without deleting everything? I am even getting duplicates of the holidays. I also don't want to turn off my husband's subscriptions to my Fantastical entries. My mind seems to shut down when looking at all of this. Lori, I completely understand. Very common issue. I have that too, where I'll go in and I'm going, I don't actually do what I'm supposed to be doing here to make this work. There are multiple things that are probably happening all at once. For one, you probably have subscribed to or turned on holidays in multiple calendar accounts. So each calendar account, be that iCloud, Gmail, or Mac, tend to have some sort of holiday option that you can use whenever you're setting it up. And so because of that, you are ending up seeing multiple options that pop up as part of that. So what's great about Fantastical is that you have the ability to select calendars that you want and deselect calendars that you don't want. I've included a link, and it'll be in the show notes, that walks you through calendar sets and how to specifically set them up as you want to. But let me show you here on the iPad. So let me see. No, I'll show it to you on the iPhone, actually. So on my iPhone, I have the option to pop in and change the specific calendars that I have for each event. So here in the settings app, which or the settings portion of the app, which in Fantastical you can activate by going into the top left corner and tapping on the icon there. And then at the very bottom is settings. You choose calendars and lists. And here you have different calendars that are tied to specific sets. So the main calendar set is going to be the one that you see most of the time. And it's probably that you have holidays selected several times. So here I have in my iCloud account, I've got a bunch of different kinds of calendars. I've got main, podcasts, and family, which is a shared calendar. But I also have a calendar for Tripsy, which is an app that manages trips, for bills, for exercise, which you'll see is conveniently not selected because exercise, as well as several others. And then here, for example, are my calendars for Twit. So I've got my Twit email, which is sort of my main calendar there, but also contacts, which will include holidays. You can deselect any of these as you are going, as you're looking through here, and say, no, I don't need to see that. No, I don't want to have that. And so what's probably happening again, Lori, is that you have multiple, you have like holidays selected for your iMac.com account, and then you've also got holidays selected for your iCloud account. And with both of those, that's what's making it pop up. So simply deselect those extra ones so that it's just holidays in one spot, and then you should be good to go. Outside of that, make sure that the settings for your Apple Watch for the Fantastical app are set to mirror what your iPhone shows. So what I'm going to do is launch the app for, well, no, I guess it isn't there. It'll probably be in the settings on the actual Apple Watch app. You'll have the ability to say, I want you to mirror my iPhone in terms of what's being shown. So those calendar sets will stay the same between the two. So yes, check out the link that I included in the show notes and reach back out, Lori, if you continue to have issues, and we can kind of dig in deeper for that. The next question comes from Steve. And Chris, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, what suggestions you would give to Steve. So Steve says, I have a problem I hope you can help me out with. Hey, Steve, I hope so too. I am still using an iPod Classic 30 gigabytes as my main music player in my car. Funny, I know.
Nice.
Yeah, I think cool.
That's
however,
awesome.
I got a right. However, I got a new car and the car will not recognize the iPod because it's too old. I would like to ditch the iPod and put the music from my iTunes library onto an SD card. The new car has an SD card slot that would allow me to play music from there. Is there an easy way to accomplish this, or should I try something else, like getting a newer iPhone or something and just using it as an iPod? Thank you for any input you can give. So, Chris, I'm going to have you take the part where you talk about some other options for what Steve can do. I will briefly mention that I've included a link to two guides that will help you, depending on if you have a PC or if you have a Mac, export the music that's in your iTunes library that is non-Apple Music music and put it onto an external hard drive, or in this case, onto an SD card. So if the music that's in your library, your iTunes library, is music that you've purchased, and so it is the actual music file that's stored there, you can use these two guides, the one for the PC or the one for, well, the one for Windows or the one that's for macOS, to be able to move that music to the SD card and then use the SD card. But what should Steve do if Steve wants to go with a different device? What do you recommend?
Oh, man. The first thing is, like you were saying, it depends on, do you own the music? Do you have the actual files, or is it Apple Music, or I guess it wouldn't be Spotify. He says iTunes in this case, but the music app, that's the first big thing. If you're somebody that uses the music app, the best thing you could do is just put it on your phone and find some kind of Bluetooth accessory pairing, whether your car has Bluetooth built into it. If it doesn't, there are a ton of third-party options. If you just have like a USB port that you would normally plug a device into, or an aux cable that you would plug a device into, there's a ton of options out there to basically get your car to adapt to Bluetooth. The other thing that you could do is, if you own all the music and, you know, you own all the music, you have all the files. Some cars have USB built into them. It sounds like Steve, he has an SD card slot. That's actually what my dad has in his truck, he got a really big SD card. Actually, no, I take that back. He switched over to an external hard drive, an SSD hard drive, and he's just put hundreds of gigs on there, and it's just plugged into his car, and he can select it from there. I take that back. I've actually since got him the CarPlay adapter, so he's using CarPlay now. But he was using that at one point.
Nice.
Gosh, I keep forgetting what he's doing in his car now. I will say, for those that are out there that have wired only CarPlay, I'm going to stall for just a second, or maybe Micah can talk and we can come back to me.
But if you look this up.
Yeah, go for it. Because I have something out there for the people that just have wired CarPlay that works really well.
Nice. So the only other suggestion that I had is, you may look around Target, Walmart, Best Buy, maybe eBay even. You could just get the last model of iPod Touch and use that just in the car on its own as an option if it's Apple Music. So if you have a subscription to Apple Music, you're not able to export that music and play it without some sort of authorization that's made with an Apple ID. So you need to have a device that has an Apple ID. And if you're wanting, because it sounds like what Steve wants here is to always have something in the vehicle that is playing music, in theory, locally, so that you're not having to use cellular data and all of that kind of stuff. And so if that's the case, you know, you like this idea of just the music is there, it's downloaded, you may consider trying to find an iPod Touch. The problem is, now that Apple no longer sells the iPod Touch, eventually that too will get old enough that you won't be able to do that. So I can understand the desire to use the SD card, given that the music will all be locally available and you don't have to worry about using cellular data. So start, you know, you might consider just getting a small SD card if you don't have one that's available, just to run this test to make sure that it works. Because again, if this is Apple Music music, it's not going to let you play it without having an Apple ID authorization as part of that. So that music's not going to be available there. But if it's music, again, that you purchased that is truly yours, then you will be able to use that SD card. What did you link to in the
So I put a link in our document, but there is a device called the Karlin Kit 3.0. It's a wireless CarPlay adapter. So this is for the people out there that have wired CarPlay, but would like wireless CarPlay. And what this does is it plugs into the USB port that you normally plug your phone into to get wired CarPlay. And this basically converts it to wireless CarPlay. Now, these have been around for a while. There's a lot of these. There's some of these that are a lot cheaper than this one. There are some that are a lot more expensive. I just got a car month and a half ago with wired CarPlay, and I ordered a bunch of these and tested them all out. I've been meaning to make a video. I just haven't had a chance to do it. This is the one that has worked the best. It's $69 right now. There's a $15 off coupon if you order it through Amazon, at least Amazon US right now. It works extremely well. It takes about 20 to 30 seconds to pair up, but I haven't had any lag, any issues with it that other wireless CarPlay adapters that I tried didn't work well with. What I love about this option, as opposed to using wired CarPlay, is when I get in my car, I don't take anything out of my pocket. My phone stays in my pocket. My keys stay. Everything stays in my pocket because it's all wireless now. It's really nice. No need to plug anything in, which is great if you're just going down the road because you don't want to have to plug your phone in if you're going down the road and charge it up and stuff like that. Shuts off. It disconnects properly. If you do have a USB port that it stays hot, meaning it always stays on, you might have an issue with this that your phone stays paired and keeps playing music even after you turn your music off. So you just need to play around with that. Easiest way to check is take a cable, plug it into that USB port, plug your phone in. When your car is off, does it charge your phone? If it does, then this thing will always stay on. Mine turns off when I turn my car off. But yeah, I love this thing. It's great. I think I was on MacBreak Weekly right before we were talking about car stuff on there. And I was on there with Micah and I said, I'm only buying a car with wireless CarPlay, and I ended up not buying it, but this thing solves my issue.
Nice. That's awesome. All right. With that, it's time to head to App Caps. This, of course, is the part of the show where we put caps atop our heads to honor our app or gadget picks of the week. These are the apps and gadgets we're using now or have used at some time that we think are awesome and want to share with all of you. Christopher Lawley, first tell us about the cap atop your head and then tell us about your app or gadget pick of the week.
Well, I have to apologize because I've actually ran out of fun hats for the show. So I need to order something for whenever I come back or whatever, because I just am wearing a Ford baseball cap. They gave it to me when I bought my new car, my Mustang. So, yeah, not really that exciting. Nothing. It was the only hat that I had that I haven't worn on the show yet. So sorry, I don't have anything super fun for you this time, but I do have a good app for you. So hopefully I can make up for it with the app. So the app I want to talk about is called Anybox. This is an app for saving anything for later. You can save files, you can save photos, but the thing that I use it for is saving links. I use it as a read it later bookmarking app. So articles that I want to read, apps I want to check out, just stuff that I find along the web, especially keyboard stuff. You can't quite see it in my frame right now, but just on the other side of my camera, I have a wall of keyboards. I'm not even joking. There's a wall of keyboards. So I buy a lot of different keyboard parts and build stuff. So I take all of those links and stuff that I find and store them in here. And it does a really good job with it. It has excellent shortcut support. So I built a shortcut that auto tags things. It's really great. Has good organization in it. And one of my favorite features about it is it doesn't try and force its own reading view on you. You can just set it up to where when you click on a link, it opens in Safari or whatever web browser you're using. And that's it. I'm I don't know why, but reading Read It Later apps and stuff like that, that try and force you to go into their specific reader view, just, I don't like those. I just, give me the original web page. And if I need to turn on reader mode, I'll turn on reader mode in Safari. But yeah, that's $80. Yeah, it could get a little pricey. There's a monthly, yearly, and lifetime subscription cost to it. I believe I just paid for the lifetime one because it's an app I really like. It's in the dock of my iPad. I use it every day. Really nice.
Nice. Yeah, I'll have to check that out because I'm always looking for those options for one that sticks. I've used Keep It as a save everything kind of option, but I have not used AnyBox, so I'll have to give that a go and see if that works for me. Because right now I continue to do what I have always done, which is I just have a text message thread with myself and I send myself things there.
There are so many people that I know that do that, and it works for them. That to me, I need search, and I need I need an app for that, and AnyBox works really well for that for me.
Awesome. I am wearing a cap atop my head that makes me look like I'm coming from Flavortown.
It's awesome. It's a great ad.
Isn't it? So a red visor with the nice sort of blonde tipped brown hair atop my head. And the app that I'm talking about today is an app called Invitation Maker by Hobnob, or known just by short as Hobnob. You can try you can download it and use it for free, but you can also get the premium version for $20 a year with a 7-day free trial. But what it lets you do is create and track events. And this is like the most full-featured RSVP event management system I've seen that I've ever used. It's really kind of magnificent. So let me start by creating an event, and then I'm going to show you. This is sort of like those cooking shows where you go through some of the steps and then you go, and voila, it's done, and you pull it out from under the counter. So first, we'll create a new event by tapping in the bottom right-hand corner, and you can choose two different options, an RSVP event that will let you invite guests, and then just an announcement that just is kind of a beautifully designed poster or something like that. So I'm going to do RSVP event. So I want to know if people can come to this. So let's call the event, I don't know, Easter egg hunt, which is of course over now. I can pick a specific date or time. So let's go back to April. I don't even remember which day Easter was. Is it the last Sunday of the month? I don't remember. The third Sunday of the month. Let me choose.
Doesn't it have something to do with like how? I don't even. Never
it's
mind.
It's the moon. Yeah, it's like after the first vernal equinox or something.
Yeah,
I remember it now. It was on my mom's birthday, so I do remember it was on the 16th. So, and then of course you can pick a specific end time. So let's say the Easter egg hunt. This is a really long one. It lasts from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. I can choose a location. So let's say it's at the Twit Studios, and there is the Twit Eastside Studios. And then there's this thing at the bottom. This is optional Hobnob space. Now, in this app, there's actually the ability to create something called a space that lets you invite your friends, and you can all, it's almost like Slack built into this app, which is just wild and bonkers to me that it's there, but it is there if you wanted to. So you can add that space if you've created a space. I'm not going to do that because this is not for that. I can then select the design. So you can create your own flyer, or you can use one that already exists. You can search. So I'm going to do, there's summer, there's Hobnob curated. There's it crashed because that was a lot for it to think about. I've got the draft. So it saved the draft here. So let's go back and edit this. And so we'll move to the next one. Let me just choose a design that already exists for the sake of not doing that search. I am running a beta on this phone, so that's probably why it crashed. I don't want to make it seem like the app is just buggy or anything like that. So we'll choose, let's go back up and choose this one that has the confetti. You can then, if you wanted to, add your own images, but I'm just going to keep it there. You can set a name. So in this case, I would put my name. And what I love too is that if it's a virtual event, I could put the Zoom link here if I wanted to. I can also, if you link your Zoom account, it will create new Zoom links for you. So those will go there. The people would get that and be able to add to it. And then I'm going to put, remember to wear your rain boots. And then check this out at the bottom, collect money from guests. So here you can actually turn this into a ticketed event if you want to, which I think is magnificent that that's built in. Up at the top, I've already got an option to create a link. I can choose the settings and look at all of these settings. So you can create a custom invite message that goes along with it, show the guest list to everybody, set the max capacity, request a guest count. So how many people from each person who's RSVPing. And then you can also separate that out to how many kids are you bringing. You can set an RSVP cutoff. So, hey, once it's April 14th, no more people can join. You can create a chat. So once people start to join, then you can all chat with each other. And then it has these things for reminders. So 2 days after the invite is sent and the day before the event date, you will be reminded about it. And then an hour before the event, it has links to the directions for the maps locations. And you can set this up so that it reminds the people who RSVP'd as well. And then a registry reminder if people sign up for the registry. And then after the event, it can also ask people, hey, if you took photos at the event, please post them so that we can have those. So let me choose save and preview draft. And so this is the Easter egg hunt. And you can then add some other things too, but I'm going to show you one that's already done where that I created called iOS Today Party. And you can see I've got another person joining. This is Micah Test. Oh, I know Micah Test. I can send a message within the app if I want to, but I can also, I set up a potluck. So this is... gives the ability for people to say, yes, I would like to bring something to this potluck. It's a potluck, so you better. And you can choose what you're bringing. It looks like Micah Test is going to bring the brisket. How many people are going to bring slaw? So say I wanted, you know, two things of slaw. I also put ketchup on there. And then you can add to this after a while. So it keeps people from accidentally bringing the same thing. It also gets that out of messages, which can kind of get clogged up after a while. Very easy to add to your calendar, get directions to the event. Here's the chat. So I could say, hey, I forgot to bring mustard. Can someone do that? And that will go out to everybody else who's part of this. They are able to download the app and use it as part of the, to get all of the features. But even if you just sign up using your email, there's a page that is a unique link for this specific invitation that has a lot of this information there. I love that you can then get the guest list and save that locally. You can print a flyer if you want to. So you can, also hand this out as a poster or a card. And it has a little QR code that the person can scan that takes them to the event page for this so that they're able to see everything that's there. And then, of course, if I wanted to, I could add photos to the event and also view this as if I were the guest, what it looks like for me going to this page. And so it's got the potluck on there. It's got who's going. Oh, I can quickly check the chat and see. Now you can see that if you want to join the chat, you have to download the app. So that's one feature that's tied specifically to the app. But everything else here is able to be accessed just via the web. So I am really excited about this as a potential, there are all those old school like Evite and all of, there are a bunch out there, but I really like this Hobnob app because it just seems it's got everything that I would think I would want when it comes to setting up a get together of some sort. So I was very impressed by it. I think it's pretty neat. And again, available in the App Store, free to download with in-app purchase. The premium subscription gets you some of these extra features like email notifications to people as opposed to just push notifications and all sorts of other cool stuff. That is Hobnob. And this is our episode of iOS Today. Folks out there, hope you either learned about some new apps or went, oh yeah, I love those apps and they deserve to be the winner of the Apple Design Award. In either case, again, we'd love to hear from you. iOS Today at twit.tv. Feedback, questions, comments, shortcuts, corner requests, just straight up feedback and questions. All of that can go there. And, you know, I look forward to checking that each week to see what folks are asking for help with. If you would like to tune in to watch the show live as we record it, you can do that every Tuesday at about 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You just go to twit.tv/live. There you'll find various places that you can watch the show live, including Twitch, YouTube Live, etc. But the best way to get the show and the way that helps us the most is by subscribing at twit.tv/iOS. If you're subscribed, ask your family members to subscribe too. They all want to know about how to use their devices. They should check out the show. twit.tv/iOS, where you can subscribe to audio or video formats. You will see a big old button, subscribe to audio, subscribe to video. You choose the version that works best for you. You choose your platform of choice, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. We try to be in all the places. And we would love to have you as a subscriber or follower, depending on which platform you're using. If you would like to get every single Twitch show with no ads and also support the network, well, there's a great way to do that. It's called Club Twit at twit.tv/clubtwit. Starting at $7 a month or $84 a year, you out there can join the club. When you do, you get every single Twitch show with no ads. It's just the content. It's a great experience where you can just watch or listen to our shows wholly and fully. You also get the Twit Plus bonus feed. There's extra stuff you won't find anywhere else: behind the scenes, before the show, after the show, special Club Twit events, and access to the members only Discord server, a fun place to go to chat with your fellow Club Twit members and also those of us here at Twit. It is always on and popping in the Discord. And I know Christopher Lawley just recently joined the Discord as well. So we're happy to have him there. Again, starting at $7 a month, $84 a year. Along with that great stuff, we even have more for you. We've got the Untitled Linux Show, which is a show all about Linux. We've got Hands on Windows from Paul Thurrott. It's a short format show that covers Windows tips and tricks. We've got Hands on Mac from yours truly, where I cover all sorts of Apple tips and tricks. This week, we'll be talking about Stage Manager on macOS. Looking forward to that. I know a lot of people have written in looking forward to that. So that'll be a great conversation. And you also will get the Home Theater Geeks program, which recently relaunched in the club. So all of those are Club Twit exclusive shows, all available, $7 a month, $84 a year. Consider joining the club, twit.tv/clubtwit. Christopher Lawley, it's been a pleasure to have you the past 2 weeks. I know Rosemary Orchard will be back next week, but folks are going to want to continue to check in with what you're doing. Where should they go to do that?
Yeah, you can find my stuff on YouTube. You can just search for Christopher Lawley, L-A-W-L-E-Y, or you can go to theuntitled.site, and links to all of my stuff, including my YouTube channel and Mastodon and Instagram and all that stuff are there. I have some really interesting stuff coming up, including some OS preview stuff when the public betas for all the new OS stuff drops. I'm very excited about.
Yes, I'm looking forward to watching. I can't wait to watch your videos. You can find me at Micah Sargent on many a social media network, or you can head to chihuahua.coffee. That's C-H-I-H-U-A-H-U-A.coffee, where I've got links to the places I'm most active online. It's a more purpose-built site now, where it really is just those links to the podcasts and social media sites and stuff. So head to that, chihuahua.coffee, C-H-I-H-U-A-H-U-A.coffee. Thank you all for tuning in. And Rosemary and I will be back next week for another episode of iOS Today. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, I'm Rod Pyle, editor-in-chief of Ad Astra Magazine, and each week I join with my co-host to bring you This Week in Space, the latest and greatest news from the final frontier. We talk to NASA chiefs, space scientists, engineers, educators, and artists, and sometimes we just shoot the breeze over what's hot and what's not in space books and TV. And we do it all for you, our fellow true believers. So whether you're an armchair adventurer or waiting for your turn to grab a slot in Elon's Mars rocket, join us on This Week in Space and be part of the greatest adventure of all time.